May God bless our meditation on his word for us this morning as we continue to seek to follow him in faith, not only in this summer season, but always. Our message this morning from God's word centers around this singular premise. If God takes care of the big stuff, can't we trust him to take care of all the rest too? As Lutheran Christians, we believe and confess that God has taken care of the big stuff, hasn't he? We believe that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and that we know all of this through Scripture alone. God has done it all for us in Christ Jesus, our Savior. For God so loved the world, that means you and me, that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to earth to live the perfect life that we have failed to live, to die a sacrificial death on the cross in our place and for our sake, and then to rise again from the grave on Easter morning, winning the victory over the power of death for all time. Through faith in Christ, through the promise of your baptism into him, you are forgiven. You are free, and you have the promise of life forever with Jesus. That is what we believe at the heart and at the center of our Christian faith. And so isn't it safe to say that God has taken care of the big stuff for us? In spades. And if God takes care of the big stuff, can't we trust him to take care of all the rest too? We can, but we often don't. God's people of old, they were the same way. They were just like us, right? We see just that in our Old Testament reading that we heard earlier. God led his people Israel out of slavery in Egypt by his mighty hand. Through 10 incredible mighty acts of God's power against the people of Egypt, and then by guiding his people by a mighty cloud by day, by a pillar of fire at night. And later still, God would lead his people through walls of water pushed up on both sides of them, so that Israel could walk safely through the Red Sea on dry ground, even as their Egyptian pursuers would soon after be completely swept away. God was with his people of old every step of the way in big and mighty and powerful ways. God took care of the big stuff, so shouldn't his people have trusted him to take care of all the rest too? Yes, but they didn't. Instead, the people of God moaned and complained and grumbled against God. They said things that sounded a lot like this. It would have been better, God, if we would have just died as slaves in Egypt. At least there we sat around meat pots and ate bread until we were full. But you, God, you have brought us out here into the wilderness so that we will die of hunger. So not only did Israel moan and complain and grumble against God, but now they are accusing the Lord and giver of life of having murderous intent, even murderous intent against his own people. Even though God had taken care of the big stuff for them, they were grumbling that he wouldn't give them what they needed for each new day, too. I know we hear Israel's grumbling and we probably roll our eyes a little bit, don't we? How could they have been so short-sighted? How could they have been so dense? How could they not understand that if God had taken care of the big stuff, that they could trust in him to take care of all the rest, too? And yet, don't we often fail to do the same? And when we do, it maybe sounds a little bit like this. Lord, I believe that I have received all the riches of Christ in my baptism, but I'm still going to go ahead and worry about my financial situation. I believe, Lord, that you have won for me eternal life in heaven, but I'm going to go ahead and fret about my upcoming doctor's appointment. God, I believe that you are eternal from everlasting to everlasting, but I'm still going to be anxious about what I'm facing right now in this one moment of my life. We do it too, don't we? And yet the same principle that applied to God's people of old applies to us as well. If God takes care of the big stuff, can't we trust him to take care of all the rest too? You know, since I've been blessed to become a parent in the last several years, I've learned a lot about the vocal pitch of children. I've learned what different pitches mean, and I've learned how I tend to react to them as well. If you are a parent or a grandparent, or if you have spent time with children, you probably know what I'm talking about. Your kids may be playing in the other room, and just from the pitch of their voice, you can tell what's going on. You quickly learn how to distinguish between happy and sad, between silly and mad, or the classic pitch of, you better get in here quick or you're going to regret it. I've heard that one a time or two as well. As a parent, of course, you respond differently to different pitches. I've also found as a parent that my capacity for listening to certain pitches only goes so far. If I hear a whining pitch, I might pay attention at first, but once I'm confident that the immediate need is taken care of, the longer the whining continues, the more likely it will be that my ears just stop listening. You reach a point of saturation in hearing a certain pitch that you just mentally tune it out of your head, since you obviously can't get your child to turn it down themselves. So why do I share all of that today? It's because it stands out to me how blessed we are that God is the one who's listening to his people's grumbles and complaints and prayers, and not you or me. If I was God, I would have tuned out Israel long ago. And I bet you would have too. But thanks be to God, that's not how he deals with you or me. Instead, in his grace and mercy, God heard Israel and he showed them his care yet again. That's what we heard in our reading today. I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. God hears, and he answers his people, even when their pitch is a droning grumble. There's this great study note in the Lutheran Study Bible about this verse that I often come back to. I love this note because it says this: God loves his people too much to ignore them. God loves his people too much to ignore them. Instead, he sends them bread and meat, manna and quail for Israel to eat 6 days a week and double the day before the Sabbath. In his grace and mercy, God shows his people of old his care. And in his grace and mercy, God shows us his care too, doesn't he? And this he does not by sending us bread and meat, but by providing for all of our needs of body and soul. We confess this in the explanation for the first article of the Creed. You probably learned this in confirmation. You maybe even know it today. It says, I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. God does all of that and all that we need to support this body and life. And amazingly, he does it even when we aren't grateful. He does it even when we are wound up in our own worry. He does it even when we grumble on and on too. God loves you too much to ignore your cries or your daily needs. If God takes care of the big stuff, can't we trust him to take care of all the rest too? We can. And that's what God desires for us as well. I believe we see that in how God chooses to feed Israel. Think about it. If God had wanted, he could have sent his people weeks of food, months of supplies, or even years of canned goods. God could have led his people to stock up on what they needed. But he didn't do that. Instead, God simply gave his people what they needed for each new day. And why do you think that was? Because Sam's Club hadn't been invented yet? No. This text doesn't teach us that God prefers not to buy in bulk, but rather this text teaches us that God desires the best for his people, and that he knows above all else that the very best thing for grumbly and anxious humans like us is that we would trust in him for everything. Every new day, that we would turn to him in prayer, that we would ask him for what we need and for what our neighbors do too, and that we would trust in our God to hear and to answer us according to his good and perfect will. For when we do this, our gracious God daily teaches us to remember, and he daily teaches us to believe this beautiful biblical truth, that if God takes care of the big stuff, he surely and certainly will take care of all the rest too. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.